Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. These words before us. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And our subject this evening is the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. This will be our focus this evening. The fourth commandment. Well, this is a commandment that has been attacked quite aggressively by the world over the last 30 years. Indeed, the attack on the Sabbath or the Lord's Day or Sunday, being that special day, that one day in seven, when we remember the Lord, when we praise Him, when we worship Him. It's the day to give thanks to God, a day to declare His mighty works. That's the Lord's Day. That's the Sabbath day, that one day in seven that is to be kept for Him. But well, this law, this commandment has been eroded over many years, and certainly in recent times in this country, particularly with the decline of Christianity and with the arrival of certain laws, trading laws, the Sunday Trading Act in 1994, since that was passed, which allowed shops and businesses and supermarkets to open on the Lord's Day. Well, the importance of this fourth commandment has been eroded, has been almost completely forgotten, and it continues to be so. Indeed, there are plans that have been proposed. The government desires to allow certain businesses and supermarkets in particular to open for more than 6 hours on a Sunday. All these things are an attack upon this commandment, because the Lord has said, remember the Sabbath day, one day in seven, to keep it holy, holy for the Lord. There is no respect for this commandment. It is irrelevant to so many people. But of course, well, I will endeavor this evening to make it very clear to you that this commandment is not irrelevant, not at all. Last week we looked at the third commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And well, I wanted to point out that that was not an unimportant commandment, because God has said that He will not hold that person guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. Well, if that commandment was not unimportant, this one is not irrelevant. This one is very relevant, very important. The Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, Sunday, must still be observed and kept for the Lord. And well, as I was preparing this message, as with so many of the commandments that we have already considered, this is a huge topic. This is a huge subject. You wouldn't think so, just to consider these things in the scripture. But well, there's so much I could have mentioned, but God willing, there will be enough for us to think about this evening, and to challenge us and to edify us as well. And as always, I've broken it down into three headings, which will open up this commandment and increase our understanding of it. So the first heading I want to put to you this evening is the Sabbath day, or the Lord's Day, is a day to be remembered. It's a day to be remembered. Remember the Sabbath day. That's what the Lord said to Moses and to the Israelites. Now, that word remember, of course, implies that the Israelites already knew about this commandment. You can't remember something which you don't know about. The Lord is saying, you already know this commandment. You must remember it. This commandment to keep that one day out of seven holy, you already know it. So remember it and keep it. But when was it given? If it wasn't given the first time here at Mount Sinai, when was this commandment actually given? Why is the Lord saying, remember this commandment? When was it actually given? To remember the Sabbath day. And well, the answer, of course, is that this commandment was given at creation, at the very beginning of the Bible, the second chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. We won't turn to it, but that was when this commandment was given. It was given not to Moses at first, but to our first parents. It was given to Adam and Eve. This commandment to observe the Sabbath. This was a creation ordinance. And well, this is stated even here in Exodus chapter 20. If you look at verse 11, Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." That's what the Lord is referring to. Remember that? He's saying to the Israelites and to Moses, remember what happened in creation? 6 days the Lord created heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and so on. But he rested the seventh day. That was when this commandment was established. That was when it was instituted. Not here at the giving of the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai. It was given at the very dawn of time. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy, a day set apart from all the other days to be distinct and to be special. And we'll speak a little more about that a little later. But the Lord blessed the Sabbath. Well, the Lord himself, he observed this commandment. He was the first person, if I can put it that way, to observe the Sabbath commandment. He kept it. We read of this in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. You don't need to turn to it, but I simply read it out. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Well, we could conclude right there. Doesn't this signify or emphasize the importance of this commandment? God himself was compelled to keep the Sabbath day. He didn't ignore it. He didn't push it to one side. Almighty God kept this commandment. Well, if he keeps this commandment, how much more ought we to keep this commandment? There ought to be no question about it at all. God, in the creation account we read, the Almighty God, the Triune God, he felt compelled to keep the Sabbath day holy. Well, there's no question, we must do so also. We must follow that great divine example. We must follow his pattern. No two ways about it. The Lord kept the Sabbath. And well, there is good evidence from the creation account right up to Exodus 20 that the Sabbath day was kept through the time of the patriarchs and right up to Mount Sinai. Even the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, they were keeping the Sabbath. They knew the principle. They were keeping the commandment. Please do turn with me, if you can, to Exodus 16. Just a few chapters before Exodus 20, of course. Exodus chapter 16. And well, this is an account of the manna falling from heaven. The Israelites in the wilderness, well, they obviously ran out of food. So how would they be fed? Well, God sent down food from heaven, manna from heaven, like bread. It wasn't literally bread, but it was food. It was sustenance, the mysterious manna. God sent it down, but there were rules about how the Israelites were to gather the manna and how they were to prepare it, how they were to eat it. And this is one of the rules that we come to in Exodus 16 and verse 22. Look at this. This is very interesting. "And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord, the seventh day. Bake that which ye will bake today, and sieve that ye will sieve, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Normally the manna would go off if it was kept overnight, but not on the Sabbath. The Lord would preserve it, because the Lord wanted to preserve the Sabbath. And look at verse 25. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. So on the seventh day, the Lord will not send manna from heaven, and the Israelites will not gather the manna, because the seventh day is to be holy. So even before Mount Sinai, even before the giving of the law to Moses, the principle is very clearly seen. We see it in creation. We see it here in Exodus 16. So there is very clear evidence that this commandment, at least the principle of it, was very well known to the Israelites. It was kept even then, and well, like all the laws, it will be kept, well, from the dawn of time at creation right up to the very end of time. There will be no end to this law, to this Sabbath observance. Now, of course, and this is something we need to clear up before we go any further, there is a difference between how the ancient Jews kept the Sabbath and how we observe this commandment in the gospel age. Some of you will know this very well. The Jews would observe the last day of the week. That would be their Sabbath, which would be Saturday, or strictly speaking, it would be from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. That was their Sabbath, their one in 7 days, the evening and the morning. But for us, we don't observe the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, on the Saturday. For us, it's Sunday, which is actually the first day of the week. And that's easily forgotten nowadays. That's been eroded. Many people nowadays think that Monday is the first day of the week because that's the day we all go to work. But it's actually Sunday is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. That's how we ought to see it. So the Jews, they observe their Sabbath the last day of the week, Saturday. The Christian age, the gospel age, we observe it on the first day of the week, on Sunday. But why is that? What has happened? Why has it changed? Who changed it? Well, the answer is the Lord changed it, of course. The Lord Jesus Christ, he changed the day. He did not change the commandment. He changed the day, and he has every right to do it. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. That is what he says. That's what he declares in the New Testament. Man is not in charge of the Sabbath. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God himself. He is the one who defines it. He is the one who decides which day it will be. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a man. It's not a nation who defines and decides these things. And the Lord Jesus Christ it was who moved it from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. The Lord Jesus Christ, we could go into this in great detail, but I won't spend too much time, just to give you a grounding. The Lord Jesus Christ, he rose again on the first day of the week. The day of his resurrection was that first day of the week. And well, he marked that day in a glorious way. That would be enough for us to mark it. But he appeared to the disciples, his resurrection appearances. When were they? On the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together, the Lord Jesus Christ would appear and he would bless their gatherings. He would bless them. Peace be unto you. There was nothing wrong with them gathering on the first day of the week. This was when the Lord Jesus would appear and would bless them and speak words of peace to them. If they were meeting on the wrong day, surely he would say, but he didn't. And well, this was to be the pattern for the apostles after the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended up into heaven. The apostles would continue to meet on the first day of the week, not the old Jewish Sabbath, but the first day of the week. We see that in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And in Acts 20, verse 7, we read, and upon the first day of the week, the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight, the first day of the week. We see it constantly. That's when the apostles met. That's when they broke bread. That's when Paul preached. This is the pattern, the apostolic pattern for us to follow. The apostles were not wrong. Remember, they were led by the Holy Spirit. They showed forth signs and wonders. They couldn't possibly have been wrong about such an important thing. And so this is why we meet on the Lord's Day. We haven't departed from the commandment. The commandment is simply being expressed in a different way. And just to expound this a little more, this moving of the Sabbath from the old order, from the Jewish order, to a new way, well, this was communicating that the gospel would now go forth to the whole world. This is a day for the Lord and for his people in every nation. It's not just the Jewish Sabbath. It doesn't belong to their nation. Yes, the Jews have kept it for millennia on a Saturday, Friday, Saturday. But now the Lord has come. The gospel is going to go out into every nation. This is a new day. This is a new age. It cannot remain in the Jewish way of thinking, restricted by the Jews' tradition. No, this is a new day, a new age. The principle is still kept, one day in seven, but it's now being expressed in a different way. And many other things we could say about this topic and subject, but we must move on. But that was my first heading. It's a day to be remembered. Remember the Sabbath day, said the Lord, because it had already been instituted. It is a creation ordinance. But my second heading is, it's a day to be kept. It's a day to be kept. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do we keep the Lord's day? Do you keep the Sabbath day? It's just one day. It's just one day out of seven. The Lord God could have asked for more. He could have asked for 2 days to be spent in his service, in his worship, in his praise. He could have asked for 3 days, but he doesn't. He gives us the bulk of the week. He gives us almost entirely the whole week. 6 days is given to us for our labor, for our edification, for our enjoyment. The Almighty God, he only reserves one day for himself. Is that not a glorious thing? We spoke about the meekness of God on the Lord's Day just gone. And does this not communicate to us once again the meekness of God? Almighty God, he has every right to demand every day. Every day we are to spend worshiping and praising God. But he asks for this one day set apart. Does he not deserve this, dear friends? Are you somebody who resents the Lord's Day? Does Almighty God not deserve just one day of your time, of your energy, of your resources? He could have asked for a lot more, but he only asks for one day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Look what I've given you, 6 days. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Dear friends, we ought to be able to keep it. It's not unreasonable. His commandments are not grievous. So we should never resent the Lord's day. It's just one day. And that word kept, what that really means is we guard the Lord's day. We guard the Lord's Day. We keep it free. We do everything in our power to keep it free. Do we keep it in that way? You know, for the rest of the week, for the 6 days of the week, really we ought to be planning. How are we going to guard the seventh day? Are you making sure that throughout the rest of the week, you're doing all your chores, you're carrying out all your duties, you're doing all your business so that you can guard the Lord's day, so that you can keep that Sabbath day free? So many Christians, well, they have to go to the shops on the Lord's day. Why? Oh, well, I forgot to do it in earlier in the week, and so now I've got no choice. You haven't really guarded the Lord's day. You've forgotten about the Lord's day. You haven't remembered it. You've forgotten all about the Lord's day. And oh, now I've got to go to the shops and do this and do that, and I've got to visit this person. No, you have to guard the Sabbath day. Guard it. You have to plan ahead. You have to make sure every duty that needs to be done is done throughout the rest of the week, and guard that Sabbath day. It is so vital. And this is what the Lord is asking us to do. We must keep it. And it's not impossible to keep it. Some people say they have so much to do. But dear friends, if you just try, if you just try to guard the Sabbath day, you'll be amazed at what you can do. We read earlier from Exodus 16 that the Lord gave the Israelites a double portion on the sixth day, a double portion, extra, so that they wouldn't have to forage on the seventh day. That is what the Lord will do for you. If you just try and you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to honor the seventh day, he will give you double the time. He will give you double the opportunity. He will give you double the energy for you to keep and to guard that Lord's day. You try it and you will see. Do you work on the Lord's day? I have to say this, we don't often deal with this subject, but do you work on the Lord's day? Yes, I know that many of you have no choice, but are you troubled about working on the Lord's day? It should trouble your conscience because you're breaking a commandment of the Lord. Are you looking for another job? Are you perhaps looking for a job that will mean that you don't have to work on the Lord's day? Is it absolutely essential that you have this particular job that forces you to work on this particular day? Have you asked your employer, can I work on another day? And well, if he refuses the first time, ask him again, ask him again. Persevere, because you're breaking this commandment otherwise. Are you doing everything in your power to guard the Lord's day? Yes, we know. And we sympathize that for some people, it's very hard, and other people who work in the emergency forces and so on. But we must keep the Lord's day as far as we possibly can, guard it as fiercely as we can. Because there's a commandment here written on these tablets of stone. God himself has kept this commandment. What about us? We shouldn't take it lightly. So dear friends, that's my second heading, but just one more thing before we move on to the third, because there's something I missed out here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it, yes, to guard it, but to keep it holy. That's something I shouldn't skip over, and neither should you. To keep it holy. The Lord's day is to be holy. What does that mean? Well, that means it's a day exclusively for the pursuit of holy things. And I mean exclusively. It's a day set apart for spiritual purposes. For spiritual purposes. This is not a day when you let worldly things enter in. This is a day that is to be holy. We're seeking after a holy God. We're listening to his holy word. Holiness, set apart from the rest of the world. We don't allow the world to enter in. We don't watch the TV on the Lord's day. Why not? Well, because the TV is full of the world. You're allowing the world to come in, to pollute your mind. That's a terrible thing. So many Christians, they go to church in the morning, they hear the holy word of God, and then they go and switch the TV on after the service when they get home. They're polluting their minds and they're polluting the Lord's Day. They're not keeping the Lord's Day holy. They should be meditating upon holy things. We don't switch the TV on. We don't watch sporting events. Have you noticed how all the biggest and the best sporting events are always on the Lord's Day? Well, that's the attack of Satan. Satan, he knows about this commandment. He wants us all to break it. He wants the Lord's people to break this commandment. And so what does he do? What have we seen in the past 100 years? Every sporting fixture, every important sporting fixture. Well, you could go through the list. The best Premiership games on a Sunday. The World Cup final on a Sunday. The Wimbledon final, what day? Oh, it's on a Sunday. The London Marathon, it's on a Sunday. The world's attack upon the Sabbath day to try and lure people into breaking this commandment. Satan coming in. He's so subtle. And yet, dear friends, we ought to resist. We ought not to let the world in. Keep it holy. Not looking for the football scores. Keep it holy, dear friends. God has kept this commandment. How much more ought we to keep it? The devil will try and trip us up, but this is our day. May we keep it wholly dedicated to the Lord. These things, I hope you're understanding the importance and the attack upon this day in the modern age, but this is so important for our thinking. But the third heading, this is a day, the Sabbath day, this is a day when we rest. Yes, I'm sure you are all thinking, when is he going to get to that subject of rest? And so, well, I've come to this. The Sabbath day is a day of rest. And that word Sabbath, well, in the Hebrew, rest comes through in the meaning of the word. But what does it mean, rest? That the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, is a day of rest. Does it just mean that we do absolutely nothing? Does it mean that we are therefore entitled to put up our feet and go to sleep or just nap for most of the day? You know, we at East Dulwich Tabernacle, when we were meeting at the building, and even at this time of lockdown, it's a very busy day for us. We are a working church, and so it's a busy day. And when visitors come to the church and they see us running around and doing this and doing that, well, sometimes they say, aren't you breaking the Sabbath? You're doing work. Isn't it meant to be a day of rest? You and your working church ethic, you're actually breaking the Sabbath day. You're breaking the commandment. Well, do they have a sound reasoning? Do they have any justification to say that? Well, before I answer that, well, there are many things we could say, but we have to remind ourselves that the scriptures warn of the dangers of being idle. There are many places you can turn to in the scriptures that say we mustn't be idle. We mustn't be slothful. We mustn't be lazy. The book of Proverbs talks about warning against sluggardliness. So it would seem strange that a Lord would sanction a day when we do absolutely nothing at all, when there are so many warnings in the scripture that we must be active. We mustn't rest. The devil will come and take advantage of us if we are idle. That's when the devil comes in. That's when we are most prone or vulnerable to temptation. The Lord wouldn't give us a day when we're most prone to temptation. Just sit down and relax and let yourself be tempted. He wouldn't sanction that. So, dear friends, we have to be careful when we weigh up all these things. But when we think about the Sabbath day as a day of rest, well, what it's essentially meaning is it's a rest from all our daily work, from all the labors that we would otherwise do, from all the 6 days, our chores, our employment, our vocation, all our duties, worldly duties. It's a rest from our normal work. Now it's time to dedicate all our time and attention and energy to the Lord. We rest from those things, from our secular work and employment and chores and labors. Now it's a time for the Lord. That's what it means, the day of rest. And the Sabbath, well, it is a day of rest. Even though we work physically and labor physically to some degree, it's a day of rest in the most important sense. It's a day of rest for our souls. That is so important to understand and to realize. You know, for the rest of the week, those 6 days, there are so many things that war against our souls. There are so many stresses. There are so many things that we get anxious about. Work responsibilities, work demands, difficulties, perhaps in our personal lives, even in our family lives, everything gets on top of us. The situation in the world, particularly at the present time, everything weighs heavy upon us. But where do we go on the seventh day? We go to the Lord's house. We go to hear the word of God. We go to remember that God is in charge. God is sovereign. He is in control. Nothing is out of his control. And he is the God who loves us. He is the God who has promised to keep us and to provide for us and to strengthen us. And when we hear all these things, isn't that rest for your soul? That's the most important rest that we can possibly have, that inward rest. Where else could we go to have that rest for our souls? There is nowhere else. This is what the seventh day is, that Lord's Day. It's rest for our souls. We hear the promises of God and we rest. We inwardly rest, rest in the everlasting arms of our God. And well, our greatest rest, of course, on the Sabbath day, well, on the Lord's Day in the Christian age, is the gospel. That is our greatest rest. The greatest rest for our soul lies in the gospel, because that is where our salvation is. That is how we are forgiven all our sins. Christ has died for our sins. He has taken upon himself the punishment that we deserved. There is now no condemnation for us. We can rest when we hear the gospel. And so therefore, on the Lord's Day, this is why the gospel must be declared. Because this is the justification for our rest. We don't have any rest if we don't have the gospel, so we must declare it on the Lord's Day. And this is what we do. This is what we do every week at East Dulwich Tabernacle. We declare the gospel because that is where our rest is. And we reach out to others. We declare it to others who don't have that rest. We must do. They are suffering. The Sabbath day, well, we read from Matthew chapter 12, the Sabbath day, it is a day in which we have compassion and mercy upon those who know no rest, upon those who don't know the healing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just turned to Matthew 12. You can turn to it with me if you want to, but we'll only be brief because time is running out. But I turn to Matthew 12. And look at verse 10, Matthew 12, verse 10. The healing of the man with the withered hand. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they, the Pharisees, they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? What was in their thinking? Well, the Pharisees thought, if he heals this man on the Sabbath day, he's doing work. He's working on the Sabbath day. He shouldn't do that. He's breaking the Sabbath. It's a day of rest. And then we can get him. Then we can discredit him because he works on the Sabbath day. That's what the Pharisees thought. But look at what the Lord said to them. He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. The Lord Jesus Christ healed this man with the withered hand. And well, this is our basis. This is our basis for reaching out to the community on the Lord's Day, for gathering in the children on the Lord's Day. Ah, people will say, you're breaking the Sabbath. You're going out and collecting children. You're teaching children. You're doing outreach on the Lord's Day. You're breaking the Sabbath, just like the Pharisees said. You're doing work. But can't you see? These people, they are in need of healing. These people, they are in a pit. They're in a pit of unbelief. They're in a pit of atheism. If you saw a sheep in a pit, would you not bring it out? How much greater is a man, the soul of a man? We must bring that soul out of the pit through the declaration of the gospel. By bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must do all that we can to bring them out of that pit, to take their feet out of that miry clay and set it upon a rock. This is our work of mercy on the Lord's Day. This is what we must do. This is why we labor. This is why we work. Because this is the work of the Lord, the gospel work, bringing men out of that pit of darkness, out of that pit that will one day give way to eternal loss, give way to hell. We must save them, even on the Sabbath day, particularly on the Sabbath day, by declaring the gospel to them and preaching to them the rest that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, they are so glorious. And well, there were so many other things we could say. We've almost entirely run out of time. Other things I could have mentioned. Well, the Sabbath day, it's a picture of heaven. That's one thing we could have mentioned. One of the younger members of our congregation, a young believer, asked me once, what will heaven be like? And the answer, well, I had to think about it for a few minutes. But well, it became clear to me, heaven, if you want a glimpse of heaven, it's the Lord's Day. It's being in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. That's what heaven is going to be like. We're going to be eternally singing the praises of God. We're going to be eternally in the presence of the Lord's people. And well, on the Lord's day, even now, the Lord's presence is with us. When we gather, the Lord is with us. In heaven, the Lord will be with us. His presence will be known amongst us in a wonderful way, in a greater way. But that foretaste is the Lord's day. If you desire heaven, you will be in the Lord's house. You will be there for the Lord's day. And may I just close with an exhortation. Dear friends, when we are exhorted to keep the Lord's Day, it means all of the Lord's Day. It means that 24 hours. It means the whole of it. It means morning and evening. Otherwise, you're not really keeping the Lord's Day. You're just keeping half. You're not esteeming this commandment. You are, in a way, thinking it's irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. We must keep all of it, morning and evening. We must be there for the services in the Lord's house, morning and evening. Keep the Lord's day. Can I make this exhortation this coming Lord's day and for every Lord's day until the Lord comes again? And who knows, that may well be on a Lord's day. Until he come, let us honor this commandment morning and evening in the Lord's house, praising him and knowing great rest for our soul. There are so many blessings for the people of God who keep the Lord's day. And I close with a verse, or a couple of verses, two glorious verses from the book of the prophet Isaiah that can conclude better than I ever could. Isaiah 58 and verses 13 and 14. Listen to these words. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, if you turn away from doing your own pleasure on the Lord's day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord has promised great blessing upon those who keep the Lord's day. So, dear friends, keep it. Keep it. Guard it in the coming days of this week, that you will be present, that you will rejoice in the Lord morning and evening, and know the wonderful blessing of the Lord our God. This is the fourth commandment. What a glorious commandment it is. They're all so wonderful. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. May the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we come before thee and we humble ourselves. And Lord, we acknowledge that we do not keep thy commandments as we ought. But dear Lord, help us in the coming days to keep them as best we can. O Lord, we think of this commandment. We think of all the many ways in which we are to keep it and guard it. We think of the blessing that is promised to thy people who do. We think of how it was established, instituted right from the very dawn of time. The triune God was compelled to keep this commandment. Oh, dear Lord, how much more we ought to keep it with reverence and with delight in our hearts. Oh, dear Lord, thy commandments are not burdensome. Thy commandments are not grievous. May we honor these commandments for all that we are worth. And we ask all these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together our final hymn this evening. It's hymn number 84 and version 2. 84 version 2, if you're using the hymn book. Lord of the worlds above, how pleasant and how fair the dwellings of thy love, thine earthly temples are. gracious God, how blessed indeed are they who trust in thee and in thee alone. O Lord, we thank thee for all thy goodness and kindness toward us. Make this coming Lord's Day a blessed day indeed. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and continue with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.